Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts, the bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh. Joining me for the first time as part of our rotating group of co-hosts is former Dark Horse editor, current comics writer and editor, as well as awesome day job haver, Jim Gibbons. Jim, thank you for number one, doing this, first off, of coming on board, but especially giving of your time as we're recording post put down of your son. It's that delicate work-life balance that we always hear so much about.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into that conversation as we go on the topic. But yeah, I'm podcasting in from my combination podcast studio sweat lodge, which is my garage, and it's been 90 degrees today. So I'm like getting a good like schwitz while I'm podcasting. So hopefully good for my health while I'm imparting advice.
I think that's really what it's multitasking. It's maximizing that productivity. Well, currently, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about what you're working on, and one of those things that's coming up soon is an Image title from Sam Humphries and Jen Bartel. If you want to give listeners a little bit of background of what you're doing as far as, you know, how you're still, I mean, we also made a joke before you made a funny joke before we started recording about the balance of Dark Horse Presents. Yeah. I mean, that alone, I feel like you how many stories you must have about how many stories had to come out of that comic and be even quarterly, you know, just seems mind-boggling to me that you could have that many people doing collaboration and hitting deadlines to get comics out on time for something like Dark Horse Presents. So what are you currently working on that you can talk about?
Oh, well... I know, I was going to say Dark Horse Presents was when I started on, I think I worked on it for 3.5 years, and it started as a 10 story per issue in the 80 page issue thing, and then we cut it down to 48 pages, but that's still a heck of a lot of comics. But you know, it's like I've got Eisner's on my shelf, and when people are like, oh, that's like a big deal, right? I'm like, I feel like I got the herding cats Eisner. Which I, you know, I guess like when it comes to time management or whatever is great, but it's always one of those things where you're like, how much should you be happy about a word because you did like a lot of scheduling and emailing? But I guess when you're a comic book editor, that's a lot of the job. So
that is a lot of the job, and ties nicely into the first topic that we're going to tackle. And before we get into that, if you do have something you'd like to hear Jim discuss on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. We will talk about it. What we're going to talk about today, though, is the not falling into the comparison trap, which is, boy, that's hard in any industry, but especially, you know, in a 2018 look at me part self-promotion part, hey, I really want to talk about this cool thing, check out my Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc., etc. You know, that boy, there's just so many different ways you can fall into the trap of comparing yourself to someone or
there are
positions in the industry. And
well, and I think the interesting thing is you kind of point out, right? Like comics as an industry, whether you're in it full time, whether you're working a day job and writing comics on the side or drawing comics at night or whatever it may be, you know, everybody is online kind of 24/7 talking about what they're doing, and you see people constantly. You know, it seems like there's always one or two people in your feed that are doing the, oh, I'm so glad I can finally talk about this thing, and they're announcing it. And you don't, you know, obviously, as if you've ever launched any sort of project at any point, you know that there's hours and hours and sometimes months before you get to put out that tweet where it's like, I'm doing the thing, here's the thing. but it's hard because when you see that every day, you know, from somebody, you're just like, geez, can I, you know, will I ever have that type of capacity? And you're also like, your mind, like, I'm sure intellectually I do it, like you can differentiate the idea of like, it's not the same person every day. And yet, because you see someone every day, like I think in our heads, it's very easy to start to start going like, oh no, everybody in comics is doing something every day and I'm doing nothing today, and why is everything horrible for me? And that's kind of, yeah, I mean, I struggle with it. I think we all struggle with it. But I started really thinking about it, and we talked a lot, you know, before we got on about we're both parents, and I think that leads to, as you become a parent, you start reading and paying attention to like all sorts of different things. And I'm a big fan of the Fatherly podcast, and where they interview like famous dads, and they talk to a person I didn't know, legendary surfer Laird Hamilton, and he said something interesting. Where they were like, oh, well, you know, are you worried your kids are going to have a lot to live up to? I guess his dad was a famous surfer. He's a famous surfer. Kind of that idea of like, do you expect your kids to follow in your footsteps? And he said something, and I won't quote it exactly because I don't remember. But he said something along the lines of like, it's hard enough to raise like happy people. I'm going to put my focus on that. And then if they end up legendary or whatever, great. But as long as they're happy, I'll have done my job. And I started thinking about that a lot as it comes to comics and just any endeavor you have. And it's like, yeah, how many people put the focus on their own happiness and feeling good about what they do versus, oh, I have to increase my output, or I have to do this one thing, or I'll never be happy until I write a comic for Marvel or whatever it is. And I think that can really get in your head, and it can get in the way of you being productive and doing the things you want to do.
And probably also when you do achieve that thing, when you are able to send that tweet, you know, it's the dog catching the car that it's been chasing almost. You're like, well, now what? How do I enjoy this thing that I spent all this time trying to get to? You know, having that moment of, not pleasure necessarily, because who would allow yourself pleasure? But to have that joy and go, yes, I am happy. Because it weirdly, that is a thing that you sometimes, I mean, really need to work on, is taking that minute and going, all right, we got where we were trying to get, you know. And that's, I remember the last Kickstarter I did, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, I have to be happy that this happened, that there was an audience for this.
Right.
I can't go, well, if I only got another $1,000, we could really, no. You're at a point where people wanted to pay for a thing you made. That's pretty great.
Take the win. And I think the interesting thing, that's the exact thing. Yeah, you got to take the win sometimes. You got to focus on that. Because I think the bottom line is you could always find a caveat. You know what I mean? Like I've thought about it, and you know, it's like I'll be at home talking to my wife, and it'll be like, okay, what are you going to do with your career? Like, you're doing those planning conversations you have with a spouse or a partner or whoever when you start looking ahead at the future. And I kind of hit that realization of like, well, you know, like I've published a lot of books as an editor, and even when I, you know, whether it's a Kickstarter, whether it's work at a publisher, it's like even if I did a 500 page graphic novel that won all sorts of critical acclaim, I know the first thing that I'm going to be thinking about is, yeah, but it's one book. It's not two books or three books or whatever. And I kind of like, that was a little bit of a, you know, I would like to say it's a freeing moment, but that would be lying, because even though I understand that, even though I know whatever I accomplish, I'm probably going to want to accomplish something else. It's not necessarily stopped me from that drive I feel like I need to accomplish something else. It's just made me also go, look, like you're not gonna be happy solely based on the work you're putting out or publishing that 4-page story or 8-page story or 80-page story. You gotta kind of have, I think that what you have to do first is you really got to back up and look kind of at your whole life. Like what do you really want? You know, at least that's part of it for me. You know, when I was looking at my own career, I was like, look, I want to get married. I want to buy a house. I want to have kids. I want to have time for other hobbies. And it's a balancing act. And sometimes, you know, it's like, you got to be like, all right, well, how do I accomplish what I want to accomplish within that? Because at the end of the day, I kind of don't believe that just professional success makes anyone happy. And maybe there are plenty of people who think that's incorrect. But I at least know it's not the case for me. And so that became a big thing, is like, I got to figure out what I want to do too.
That's a really good kind of way to sum it up too, and a fine point to put on it. I think a lot of it maybe comes down to goal setting, which I feel like is a drum that gets beaten a lot in general, but also, you know, when we talk about things here, Because it is kind of that, you said, well, you want to write a comic for Marvel? Are you trying to put out a miniseries? Is comics going to be, the thing that you do and you're just going to be an artist for the rest of your life? It's the goal setting of comics, in quotes, I guess, and as an industry. But it's also all the stuff that falls around that where, yeah, if it's a thing that's not clicking for you or you don't have the capacity because you have a day job that you like or need or you want to work on family time or you got another hobby or an interest or fill in the blank. Life happens. You got to help out your family, take care of an ailing parent. Stuff happens and causes you to have to kind of rejigger along the way what your focus is going to be and what your priorities are. So when it does turn into, I was often running comics, look at all the comics. First pitch that I submitted to a publisher was accepted, and that's the thing that you hear never happens, and it did happen, and somebody wanted to publish my pitch, and then I would have to make the comic, and how there was a regime change at the publisher, and then that, I don't know that I've ever talked about this on the show, that it went away, that the guy I was working with changed his position, and it turned out that there were five or six other people in a similar position that also thought they were going to get contracts, and then all of a sudden I'm left with, well, I've been holding on this for a couple of months, having not been in the industry and trying to go that route before, I'd not really experienced that, so just the education of a half a year going, huh, I thought we were going to publish this comic, and then it not going anywhere causes you to reevaluate that whole thing and should I have been doing something different on the side with the other stuff I was trying to do and all the experience as you go along to understand, well, yeah, I should really think about all this with my goal setting. What are my goals? Because inevitably, knowing somebody at a publisher or getting something greenlit and it goes away, that happens, I'm sure, frequently, so much more than you hear about. And if it happened to me, how many other people is it happening to? And how should I think about my comics career?
Yeah, well, and I think you could probably start a whole separate publishing industry if you collected all the projects every year that fell through for some reason or other. I mean, that's the other thing too that people don't talk about. It's like for every one book that you maybe get to announce or you get to actually do, there might be a handful that just like you've done a lot of work on, you've spent a lot of time on, and they're just not going to work at some point. And those books, they might resurface as something you can do 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line. But yeah, it's like you're going to have a lot more misses than hits sometimes. And I think part of that is understanding that not every project is going to make it. And not every project is necessarily even going to meet with many eyeballs or much success. But part of that is where I think I agree. The goal setting is key. And I know Andy's talked about how that in the Comics Experience mentoring program, how that's how he starts a lot of it. It's like, what's your goal? What do you want to do at the end of the day? And I think the thing that's tougher is doing that goal setting for yourself.
Right.
It's very, when someone starts pressuring you to make a decision on it, you can sometimes that third party essentially can help. But when it's up to you to do it, it's a little harder. And I think it really is one of those things where you got to be honest, And on top of it, most of the time, like you should have short-term goals and long-term goals. If your goal is to have like a career in comics, it's like that goal is only going to be achieved by hitting the short-term goal of getting a short story published and then getting an issue published and then getting a miniseries published. It's like you got to build yourself a little checklist and go, okay, like, yeah, maybe I'll get to skip a few steps and that'd be great. But mostly I got to start putting in the work and knowing that maybe I'm going to have a handful of failures before I get to this success. But then once I've accomplished that step, no one can take that away from you. And that's I think a key thing too, is like, do be happy with those victories.
I think that's the advice of, so Jim, what kind of advice would you give people for setting goals? I think that's a good way to kind of break it down, is what are those, I don't know, the lessons learned and the how much can you bite off, and yeah, celebrate those victories. I know that so many friends that I have that do comics, it's so easy to fall into the, oh, I haven't announced anything in a while, it's going to be a while before I announce something, and trying to get this miniseries going, and this was going to work, and it didn't, and you just I feel like I hear it more often than not of the stuff that doesn't go, and it is hard to not get into that. Well, look at so and so's career and the trajectory they're on, and it is so many. You know, maybe it's a little less common now that somebody shows up and you go, where did they come from? Just because of the internet versus, you know, a few years ago when you're like, who's a Brian Michael Bendis? How did that happen? And you know, he was working for what, a decade before he broke in. And you know, it's that 10-year overnight success story of however he was doing comics, he was doing comics. And I think the people that show up now, you can trace them maybe a little bit easier, but I think in some capacity they are kind of following what you talked about, is that they're ticking off those boxes as they go, and you know, having some goal in mind, whatever that might be. I don't know if there is anything else that you would suggest if people are either starting out or maybe at a point where they're doing some self-reflection and reevaluation of what do I want to do? How do I want to do it? You know, I know for me, it was a big revelation of maybe every so often you do something that you can kickstart, and that's what you're going to do. And that's okay, because you are literally putting out a comic, and that can be enough, you know, when you're, if you have another career going in a creative industry and a family and occasionally like to sleep and, you know, do something else in addition to it. And it was one of those kind of harder moments to think through and go, well, what do I have time for? What do I truly have time for? Where does my interest lie? It's like, at the end of the day, it's awesome to put out a comic. And if that's going to be it, that's pretty great.
Yeah, well, and that's some of, you know, kind of harkens back to what started making me thinking about this in the beginning. I had a kid, and it, you know, it changed everything about my life. The amount of time I have, you know, I was getting a job outside of comics that could pay me a little bit more money because I had another mouth to feed, you know, and I was like, okay, but I want to still do all this stuff. So how do I make sure I am doing it, you know, like, yeah, and I, you know, you can get into a lot of other stuff where I'm like, if I'm not the psychological benefits of not following, you know, a career path I enjoy for my son, will he see me hating a day job or something like that and not pursuing my dreams? And is that setting a bad example? And I was like, so now I have like my own in the back of my head, like parental reason to also do the thing I want to do, which is continue work in comics. But I think what I started realizing is at the end of every year, I see this, and I'm sure everyone does, or at least I'm sure many people in the comics, you know, social media sphere see this, but everyone starts going, well, I published X number of pages this year, or I published this many issues, or, you know, people kind of take stock. You know, you get to the end of the year, people do this with a lot of stuff, whether it's resolutions for the next year or looking back. I do it myself. And I started going, you know what, like, I feel like I have a very good excuse. I have the best excuse in the world. I have a new baby at home. I haven't done as much as I thought I would this year, which is also a weird comparison sometimes when you're like, I was working at a publisher. Now I'm doing comics on the side, and I had a baby this year. It's like, calm down, Jim. And that's kind of, you know, it's, again, it's like, that's where I get to with this, where it's like, you know, you've gotta take stock of where you're at and who you are, because, you know, you'd see people and they'd be like, people write, you know, friends of mine who are writing for Marvel and DC, and they're like, I published, you know, 500 pages this year or something like this. And you're just like, you're like, I'm never gonna do that. I'm never gonna catch up. And that's such an easy trap to fall into, because at the end of the year, I started counting it up, and I was like, you know what, for having a new baby and working a job 40 hours a week, I was like, I think I kick some ass. And if I can do a little bit better next year, like, that's really where what I've got to look at. And I think that's kind of my main advice, is at the end of the day, you know, to borrow the phrase from Michael Jackson, you've got to look at the man in the mirror. And if you're comparing yourself, you know, if I sat down and had been comparing myself to somebody like Brian Michael Bendis, or I remember this year it was Ed Brisson, who I love, I think is a fantastic writer and a great guy. He published some sort of like obscene amount of new pages that he wrote this year, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it was that thing of like, you know, I was like, yeah, but if I'm always comparing myself to somebody else, I'm always going to be unhappy with my output. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be chasing a goal that's not even about my own creative fulfillment. I'm going to be chasing a goal that's competing with somebody for some reason. And that's a stupid reason to do, you know, an artistic endeavor like creating a comic. So I think there's some stuff like that. I think at the end of the day, you'll see a lot of people probably your same age, probably who've had some of the same career stuff as you, and they're still doing more than you. But that's a trap, and you're going to fall into it, and you're going to lose momentum. And momentum in comics is huge. And just keep focusing on doing a little bit more. You know, if you did 5 pages this year, do 10 pages next year, do 15 pages the year after that. You know, like you, and if you get to a year where you can say, hey, I went from 15 pages to 50 pages or something like that, that's huge. You know, like, be proud of that. But I think that's kind of some of the main thing that I wanted to focus on with this. And I think another thing about it too, I think there's a lot of benefits to how your portfolio develops when you're focused on doing more than you did last year and working on improving what you do. Is I think when you're trying to talk to editors, it's always nice to have a portfolio to show them, and it's nice to be adding new work to it occasionally, even if it's a short story, maybe it's just an issue. But when you can say, hey, you know, I sent my portfolio to you 6 months ago, I did another story since then, I just wanted to pass that your way, kind of gives you something to talk about. It shows some momentum. It shows you're committed to the long game, which I think is really big. Like, I know when I was an editor, sometimes the first contact, I would look at the stuff and I'd say, okay, it's fine, but I can't hire this person right now. But then they would keep at it. You know, 6 months later, I'd see something that was a little better and I'd go, okay, well, maybe next time around. And then, you know, a year after that first contact, that person would have published a story that I go, okay, this I see it. I see where we can work together. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes someone is great and the timing's just not there. And then they pester me with a new story and I'm like, ah, crap, I really got to hire this person. You know, they're amazingly talented. So I think, you know, some of it is like focus on what's going to make you happy. And I think at the end of the day, continuing to do good work and continuing to try and make good work happen and to do a little bit more and to improve a little bit, you know, to be happier with your dialogue next year, or to be happier with your figure drawing or whatever, it is good. But then I think it's also one of those things where it's like, how can you also leverage those like mini milestones for yourself into your professional career? And some of it is, you never know what next story is going to be the one where you maybe really catch someone's eye or you get hired, and then you go from self-publishing, you know, an issue a year to getting hired onto a book, which gets you hired onto the next book and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. When I think about it, that's kind of where I go with it. And I think if people can, you know, just worry about you. Worry about doing you. You do you. And I think you'll be not only happier, but probably pleased with the results when all said and done.
And keep, as you said, keep that long game in mind, because it is a long game. And so much of it is that first contact and that second contact, and then going, oh, yeah, I've known you for about a year and a half and you're consistent and look at what you do. And hey, I need somebody that does this kind of thing. And would you be interested in it? Or, yeah, I like that story. I think we have space for it. Or I'm going to come on board and edit your book because it sounds great and I'd love to work with you. And yeah, it's such a... In a day and age of instant gratification, it's hard to keep that long game in mind, especially when you go, oh, look at how many pages Brisson did.
Yeah, no, and I like to too. A few years ago, I put together a presentation at a convention of, you know, how to break into comics, and it was all kind of, you know, I did my own personal research and takes and all that, so none of it was empirical, and it was all, you know, maybe helpful. Who knows? But what I found is I talked to some friends who are working in comics, and I said, hey, you know, can you break down for me kind of your progress? Like, how did you get into comics? I want to show people a few different career paths. And what came out of it that I was amazed of was it was roughly a decade before like steady work happened for everybody, you know. And that's not to say it can't be done faster. It certainly can. And for some of those people, they were doing like, I should say steady work probably at 5 years, but like a full blown, like what I would call successful career by 10 years. And I think that's the thing. Like, there's no rushing to success. And honestly, most of the people who rush to success, I mean, look at your one hit wonders in music, right? Like those are the people that come out of nowhere and then you don't hear about them anymore. And it's the people that have like had to work hard and put in time for 10 years that have those careers where they last, because they've learned a heck of a lot along the way and they've persevered. And I think that's the other thing too, you know, like, I don't want to say you got to put together a 10-year plan, but I think take it 1 year at a time and just work on doing a little bit more every year. And you got 365 days to accomplish, you know, whatever it is, one more page, two more page, another issue, five more issues, you know, like Set a goal, hit that goal, set a slightly bigger goal the year after that. And whatever anyone else does, great, be happy for them. But, you know, work on what you need to do to be happy for yourself. And I honestly think the people that I have found that I've worked with and I've talked to that have, I think, like the most not just good long careers, but also the most, I think, the gratifying careers for themselves seem to be those people who are focusing on how to improve what they do.
I think that is a lovely place to put a pin in it and say that if people want to find you, Jim, online, I know you've got a newsletter that's, you're only a couple newsletters in. It is terrific. If you are all curious about craft and a number of different topics related to comics, Jim puts out a great newsletter. Where should people go to find that and find you?
Well, thank you for the compliment, first off. On Twitter, I'm at the Jim Gibbons. And my newsletter, I think you can sign up for it in a pinned tweet right at the top of that. My website is thejimgibbons.com. It leads to a blog as well and all sorts of other stuff. So I think those are my main internet locations.
And eventually there'll be photos of your sweat lodge / garage that people will be able to see and do a virtual tour and you can virtually touch the Eisners. It'll be...
Yeah, I mean, I can, like, if people want to, you know, PayPal me, I can send them some sweaty shirts from the Sweat Lodge. But, I'm not sure that's going to be a great business plan. But, you know, obviously, tweet at me, and if you're interested, like, I'm not opposed to a few extra bucks here and there.
if you do find that that's a side industry, I mean, maybe the whole comics experience model could flip on its ear and go a different route. I think Andy'd be open to some change. Until then...
Yeah.
Until then, if you go to comicsexperience.com, you can see everything that Andy has going on, including an introduction to screenwriting that's happening starting on June 21st, as well as looking to July, depending on when you're listening to this, is a digital painting starting on the 12th. And then there is a small comic book convention called the San Diego Comic-Con that at least Andy will be in attendance to, and I don't think is at the point of announcing panels yet. Jim, is that a thing that you're doing, San Diego Comic-Con?
Not this year. I think cons, I'm still enough in new kid mode that cons have been a little bit of a let's hold off on that for a year or two. But San Diego's great. I love San Diego. I went for many years, and it's nice to go to a con where you can, like, sit by a pool when you're not on the show floor.
Which is not always something that you get.
No, usually you're in, like, a convention center somewhere in a part of the city that, like, doesn't have anything that interesting to do. But in San Diego, you're in a hotel. You got a hotel with a pool right next to the convention center. You're good to go. It's a vacation and a work trip. So,
and long-term planning, if you do Sweat Lodge Con, maybe in 2 to 3 years of Sweat Lodge Con, introduce the pool. So you got another... All breaking down to that long-term planning.
I think Sweat Lodge Con will probably give San Diego a run for its money in the next 10 years easily. I mean, who doesn't want to just be sweaty in a room talking about comics?
I think that is kind of comics, though, in San Diego.
Yeah, it's not a new idea, dang it.
That's at least in my experience. Well, thanks again for jumping on board and being part of the show. I am looking forward to what folks will write in about to have your perspective on. So we will talk about it if you all write in, and until then, we'll make up our own topics, like talking about the comparison trap, which I think is a fantastic way to kick things off. Jim, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of this.
All right. Well, until next time, keep making comics.